Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a click away. We offer convenient options for you to get your parts, tools, accessories, and supplies quickly. Order online and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, or you can have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Today's Carolla Classics is brought to you by Madison Reed Mister. Oh yeah, if you're working from home, staring at you and your coworkers' gray hair on your video calls, are you thinking about coloring it? You're not alone. Get Madison Reed Mister, gray blending natural color for your hair and beard. Adam's used it. He took it home. It comes in this little box with these tubes. Very easy to do. I don't know much about coloring my hair, but if Adam can do it, you guys can. It comes with the gloves, the tubes, and it just straight to your door. Cut out the middleman, get mailed right over to your house, and dye your hair. And what's nice is it's not that shoe polishy John Travolta look, Gio.
How dare you?
it's natural. It looks like it doesn't look like you did anything to it except
the Madison Reed brand is well known amongst women, and now they're reaching out to men as well, like that's yourself, right. Old gray beard Chris over here.
That's me.
You can try it out.
Tried and true. It's quick and easy. Just apply the color gel to your dry hair. Add the activator. Wait 10 minutes. Rinse and shampoo. So easy. Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use the code Adam for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam. Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for August 1st, 2020. We made it August. Look at us. The show rehighlight the greatest.
What year is it?
2020. It's still 2020. I know.
Who am I?
Well, I'm about to introduce you as I introduce the show. This is the show we're going to highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show by playing you some clips. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, as you heard, super fan Giovanni.
What do I do?
You're a Carolla archivist, Gio.
And super extreme producer of the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. That one's already implied, so I don't need to say that every time.
I thank you for at least acknowledging it this
time. I will. And also, I'm going to acknowledge that Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. Gio, let's...
Don't dare drive your RV without that policy.
Don't you dare. It's a no-brainer. Gio, let's get started off with a song. I want to hear some music. What do we got?
How about a little Toad the Wet Sprocket from back in 2013, Adam Carolla Show, episode 1116, Glenn Phillips, Todd Nichols, Dean Dinning, Randy Guss, David Weil, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop, all in studio. David's not in this portion, just the band, Allison, Adam, and Brian, for a new constellation. Check it out.
So, before we hear Circle...
I love that song.
Shining bright like a diamond. We're going to hear something off the new album?
Sure. We could try that.
Let's
do that. This is his new constellation from our album, New Constellation.
So far off center. It's a fractured view through faulty lenses. And what do you trust when you can't trust your senses? And I can fly through the heavens on the power of my heart and thread my way through a string of stars to write your name in a new constellation. Declare my love. No
lights and no smoky haze. Just a speck on a speck on a spiral arm. Yeah, it feels so good to be so small. Remember, and I can fly through the heavens on the power of my heart, thread my way through a string of stars to write your name in a new constellation, declare my love to all creation. I can fly on the power of my heart, thread my way through a string of stars in a new constellation, declare my love.
Toad the Wet Sprocket, everybody.
And that was Toad the Wet Sprocket playing New Constellation, doing the very rare full band performance.
With drummer.
Studio. Yeah, with drummer, as you guys heard. Yeah, it's and he had a little mini setup. He actually sat, if I recall correctly, on a milk crate. Because it was just that DIY. Everyone just kind of brought in the smaller version of their instruments, and they were able to pull it off. Because our studio is not that big, especially to fit a full band. Only very few artists have performed, even with more than one instrument.
Impressive.
Yeah, so Toad the Wet Sprocket, we got a little bit more from them coming
the
up.
The real deal.
They're told the real deal. I mean, as you heard, God. And Glenn Phillips, one of Adam's favorite artists. He's a podcast Hall of Famer as well. He's been coming in since the one-on-ones.
Yeah, and it's always nice to hear Adam talk to him and their relationship evolve over the years on air, because they probably don't hang out off air, but like they check in every few years, and it's nice to hear.
Exactly. What you hear on air is what you get, but it's genuine, it's real. And it's good catching up for the guys.
That's how Adam is with most people, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with me. Yeah, we don't talk off air. All right, let's get going with another clip. I love this next segment, Gio, because a few years ago, Brian Bishop told a story about a girl in his class who mistook him for a different Brian. And they said, oh, you like Brian Bishop? You like that Brian? And she replied, which is one of the biggest drops of the show, not Brian Bishop.
Incredulously, because she liked a different Brian.
That's right.
Who probably spelled his name with an I and had hair.
A good Brian, you mean.
Yeah.
Well, this sparked an idea from Adam to take stories from listeners in the audience about times that similar things has happened.
Horrifically mean things were said by very attractive women that you would hope would not say such horrible things about you, to you, or around you. It's like, hey, you got a superpower. How about you don't shove my face in the mud and stomp on my neck. Please don't do that.
It's happened to all of us. And this,
including you in this clip, because you do chime in.
Yeah, this is a clip called
Past
From the,
You.
From the Mouths of Babes.
This is from Adam Carolla Show 2011. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, no guest on this episode. See, sometimes we play episodes with no guests. This is from February of 2017. It aired on the 16th, so it was like right after Valentine's Day. And it's stories from the audience, callers, tweets, about all things hot chicks have said to them that have broken their hearts. Check it out.
This one's going to hurt.
And Bald Brian.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Excited to hear the mean things girls have said to guys.
Not Brian Bishop.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. We can all hearken back. Stacey. We can all harken back to those super humiliating moments and those crazy. I just thinking back, had a big crush on Phyllis Tyler, who was up the street from me.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Phyllis and Ethel.
She was a cute blonde, and I think she was a year older than me. And at some point, I was over at their house, and I was just sort of hanging out. And I think I was like sitting in a rocking chair or something in the living room. And she just came in and like sat on my lap.
Now you're talking.
And I think now her initials were PT, which is also initials for Prickties. So
indeed.
It may have had something to do with it.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wow.
So she sat on my lap while I was like on this rocking chair, and the fire was lit, and there was like nobody around as far as I could tell, and we were just rocking back and forth, and I was like, God, this is the greatest thing ever. And at some point, she said, like, I'm going to go in the kitchen and get a soda or something, and she stood up and went to go get a soda, and I did like a frantic Keystone Cops kind of move where I like stood up, pulled my pants, got my pants adjusted, probably shoved whatever boner I had like down, pushed it down,
or poured a pitcher of ice water down your pants.
Yeah, like checked my breath with a half cup of the hand, you know, licked my fingers and did my alfalfa move on my cowlick, you know, like lick finger, try to hold my, get my hair straightened out or whatever. Do my move where I do my thumb and forefinger and get my brows in order, you know, do that move. And then, because it was an old house with a wooden floor, I heard the creaking of the wood floor. I heard her coming down the hallway. And at that point, I was standing, you know, 8 feet from the rocking chair and in great danger of not getting back into the chair and having her back on my lap. And if I couldn't get back to that chair. So I did like a shoulder roll pop-up move and dove back into the chair. And then, you know, as she turned the corner, I was casually like, oh,
you're back?
You're back. Well, the problem was her brother John had been watching the entire thing.
Oh, no.
He was in the next room and had a weird kind of curtain thing, and he was just looking through it. He was watching the entire thing. No. And as I casually, like, oh, well, come on back, sit down. He just came bursting out of the next room, explaining great detail every single thing. I'd hopped up, and I heard you coming, and I dove back into the chair. I was like, oh, God.
John could have blackmailed you pretty hard, too. That was a foolish move to come out so quick with the information.
Did Phyllis try and save face, or she just about face? And
you know, it's weird. In movies, they have a reaction. Mm-hmm. In real life, they just stand there and have horrible thoughts about you, but you're just standing there humiliated. Like, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing they can do. There's just, you just stand there, just awash in your own embarrassment and shame. Yeah.
Speaking of embarrassment and shame, now, the best calls, I think, the best stories will probably have some, because the unifying link between your story about, my story about Stacey and yours, all my friends think I'm crazy, you know, for staying with you and not Chris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be unintentionally mean. You know, like, they're not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's quite awful and crushing.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking about this a lot yesterday, and the thing I hated the most, because I was, I think, maybe I'm delusional, but I think I was always a really nice girl. Like, I don't like humiliating people. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So when I'd have like a friend or a classmate or whatever be like, I'm going to go up to Matt and pretend that I like him because he's such a nerd. I hated watching these scenarios play out. That to me was worse than Brian Bishop. Ew. Even though I would think the same thing.
Though it's universally, it was on the chalkboard for God's sake.
Yeah, no, I...
That's the daily announcements of the homework.
It's best when it's unintended and it's just simply reaction and there's nothing. There's nothing. You don't want malice worked into it, because then that suggests motive. And
it's just a bitch.
Yeah, this is
a mean person.
This is not that.
Right.
Yeah, it's better. It's a pure form of insult when there's no malice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, when it just doesn't even, as a matter of fact, when you have the malice at the beginning, like when you know, two celebrities get into a Twitter war and Piers Morgan's calling JK a loser or something. It's like, it doesn't even mean anything, right? Because like, it's not a loser. This is clearly obviously them, this, and whatever. And it's like, it doesn't mean anything. Right. But it's in that, the absence of malice. It's when it's just pure, pure
reactionary.
Their head hits the pillow that night and they've done nothing wrong.
From the mouth of babes.
Yes.
Now, the thing that's weird is we all know it is from the mouth of babes. I went home and Googled it and it said out of the mouth of babes, like in the Bible. But it never even gave me an option for from the mouth of babes. And I was going nuts, going, isn't that the way I've always said it? Was I always screwing it? I just assume I screw it up.
That's the way I always heard it as well.
But from Gary, when you Google it, does it, you Google...
Yeah, it's, you have to get to the second page before they even start talking about that phrase.
Oh, page two.
It's a weird one, right?
It's like you don't exist.
It'd give you an option to go
it's used
say
colloquially.
This way.
Yeah, this way. So.
I'd have thought that it could be that you don't start a sentence with a proposition, so from wouldn't be the correct term, but then isn't out.
School's in session.
It's a proposition.
Yeah, pretty good.
Proposition.
I have no idea. But anyway, we'll just call it from the mouth of babes. Mm. And this is things
you don't
that
end
hot
a sentence in a preposition.
Well, that way the Bible won't sue us.
Things that, yeah, thank you. Things that hot chicks have said that have devastated you, but again, not intentionally. Yeah. Intentional is fine. We've got a few tweets. We got some callers. We're getting it worked out. I sat home and looked at a lot of tweets and laughed.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's some good ones that rolled in.
Yeah. So Gary, you got a couple. Tweets that I favorited. I retweeted a few. And Gina, you can read them. It'll
oh, that's good.
All right. This is from Joe Johnson, who was told, I didn't want to give you a BJ because I gave one to someone else earlier today, said my one-time supposed girlfriend.
Nice.
Wow. Well done.
I like
She's
that
a woman
one.
Of honor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
This is from NJ Beachbum. Someone said to him, you should ask out my not attractive friend, Jill, while sitting at a very expensive restaurant on her birthday 2 months into dating.
That's good. Trying to pass him off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I love it. I love any of these. And again, it's only the things hot chicks can say.
Right.
What's this one?
This is from Tony Aldini. He said, while entering the house I just finished building on our second date, she said, if we ever got married, I'd have to totally redo everything.
Boy, I could do a home version of this. I really could do a home version of this because mm-hmm. I have had people, the first house I bought up in the Hollywood Hills, 1923, literally hadn't been touched since 1923. It had like big time structural damage. I started in on it. I mean, walls were going the wrong direction. I mean, there's remodeling and replacing and dry rot and termite damage. And then there's big time structural damage. Like this thing had a step down living room with a big header that went above it and a big cast iron tub in the bathroom above it. And it was sagging. You're going to have to replace this, pass in a big header, major, major stuff. I bought the house. I bought it very early. We'd done one season of Loveline. I wasn't getting paid very much on MTV. I really wasn't making much money. I immediately bought a house and everyone kept saying to me, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's show business, topsy turvy in one day and out the next, you know, save up, get some money. Don't buy a house. You're going to get stuck in this thing. I bought the house immediately. I tore it apart immediately. It turned into a 1 year, very expensive project. And at some point, Jimmy came over just to go to lunch. And I said, yeah, come by and I'm right in the middle of my remod. And he showed up. He knows nothing about building. And he just walked in and he just looked around and he paused and he just went, well, why don't you tear the whole thing down? You just tear the whole thing down. It's just got to be easier than this. I mean, look at this. And I was like, it's not, but I can't. But
good bones.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good Mike August comment to Mike Lynch. Why don't you tear your whole house down instead of remodel it? I've had a lot of that. I've had a few where they come in the middle of the remod and they go, where are you guys living? Mm-hmm. And I go, here. And they go, ooh.
Now?
Yeah. Dangerous. With the kids? I'm like, yeah.
Wow, good luck.
I have a lot of that.
The hard hats?
It's a lot of that. A lot of that remod stuff. A lot of stuff where you've already done the remod and they're like, Oh, you put the sink in the island? Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Okay, well, why don't you put it by the fridge on the counter side? And you're like, thanks, but I'm not asking you where I should put the sink. The guy had already finished off the marble and the sink's in the island. Like, it's pretty much appreciate there. That.
How did you live in a house that was being completely remodeled with children?
I lived in a garage on a cot mattress. I slept on a futon with another individual with no air conditioning.
Shat in a popcorn tin.
I've made in a popcorn tin. I've made many trips to Palm Springs for Easter break and spring break without a hotel, merely assuming I was going to crash on a lounge chair by a pool at a hotel, mm-hmm. and have done successfully. I've gone camping with no sleeping bag, simply the blanket that I was using on my bed in sub 30 degree nights. I've slept in alleys on a box spring. I've done it all. I don't have super high requirements. That's me. The other people I live with have standards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where the problem comes
Understood.
In. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We got some questions or some comments up there.
Some stories, yeah.
Some stories, yes. Thank you. Hey, Mike, 40, L.A.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's going on?
So, I got a doozy of a story here. I met a girl some years ago. I was about 25. She was a little bit younger. You know, we hit it off, hung out for a couple weeks, and then one weekend she says, hey, why don't you come camping with me and my family? Okay, cool. She's like, I'll pick you up, and we'll spend, 2-3 days. So this car comes pulling up. She's in the passenger seat, and she has a male friend driving. Mm. I don't think much of it. We get to the campsite. Everything's cool. Come bedtime, she's all, hey, come on in here. We end up messing around. Didn't score, but ended up messing around all night. Her guy friend was in a completely different room. So she ends up getting up a little bit early. I slept in a little bit. By the time I got up, I saw them out in the kitchen, and they were kissing. And I walked up, and I just kind of stared and didn't know what to make of it. She looks over at me and says to him, oh, I bet he's real confused now.
Wow. What? By the way, the thing about being kind of, let's just make sure we all know what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. When you are a hot chick and you're 23, you're somewhere between, a high priestess, a genie, and that kid from the Twilight Zone who could wish anyone into a cornfield.
Yeah.
You have all the power, immense power, and all the power. There's really nothing you can do wrong.
You're omnipotent.
Mm.
You can walk into a room that has, George Clooney over there and Mark Cuban over there and stand there, and they'll both come to you and strike up a conversation. You with your second semester of junior college.
If you deem them worthy.
They'll try.
Yeah, they'll try.
Yeah, that's the kind of juice you have as a hot 23-year-old chick.
Yep.
So there's nothing you can't say or do. It doesn't matter. You're Kim Jong-il shooting golf.
Wow.
Every time you just turn to your caddy and go, mark down another birdie.
Hole in one, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll get the ball out of the lake. And he just does it.
Yep.
That's the world you live in.
Wow.
That's why you're able to do these things. Now, I would do the exact same thing.
Sure. Given those gifts.
And they don't know it. We're looking at the kid who's
cornfield
wishing people
boy.
Out in the cornfield. Billy Mummy, I think.
Yes, Billy Mummy.
Mummy or
yeah,
Mummy.
Yeah, I only
Mummy
know because we've had him on the morning show.
All right. Go ahead, Gary. Sorry. Mike?
Yeah.
How did it... Now, how many more days did you have on the mountain?
Oh, that was morning one.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent the rest of the weekend just hanging out with her and her family, but that was it. There was no contact after that. I was just freaked out thoroughly. Never asked, never got any information to this day what that was all about.
Wow.
It's weird, but she must have been hot.
She was no 10, but she was definitely cute.
All right. Well, you must be ugly.
Neat. Yeah, it's a ratio.
No, certainly not.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. We got another Mike from Las Vegas. Talk to him. Mike, 30, Las Vegas.
Ace, man, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. So I knew a girl in high school. I was about 16 years old, and I had really, really bad acne as a teenager. Anyways, after high school, lost touch with her. Saw her again when I was about 22, 23 years old. And she had made the comment, oh, my God, your acne has cleared up so much. And then followed that compliment up with, it's too bad you're so pale, because then you wouldn't be able to see the scarring on your face.
Wow.
That's jujitsu.
That's more along the lines of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's horrible.
And she meant it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Edward James almost called. He wants his complexion back. Jesus, goddamn Christ. I got to tell you, yeah. The other thing the hot chicks have is just zero in the filter department.
Yep. Yeah.
I love it. And now, she was hot, right?
Of course, yeah. Really hot.
Yeah. It's awesome. The good news is...
Wanted to jump off the bridge, definitely, yeah. After talking to her.
I know, and there's no... The problem with that hot chick talk is there's really nothing you can do about it, because it's as pure a comment as you'll ever get.
Sure.
Later on, there is a syndrome that, Mike, if you hang out for about another 15 years, you can start enjoying this syndrome. The chick who was clearly hot, now getting a little past the prime... Mm-hmm. Cannot stop the body language and the cadence and all the trappings of 30 years of hotness.
Oh, yeah. It's ingrained.
It's ingrained. It's and I'll always notice it when we do a show and it's like picture time at the end. And the chick that's, you can tell she was quite the beauty in college. Now, she's still attractive, but she's not what she was. Mm-hmm. And they always sidle up next
to
you.
Nobody told her.
And they'll get a little close. They'll take a picture, and you'll go, all right, well, there you go. Thank you very much. And they'll go, you don't get it. I love your work. And you go, thank you very much. And they go, you didn't hear me. And it's like, I did. We got other people in line here. And you can tell, oh, they're used to
not responding properly.
The person breaking off with them and going, hey, listen, after the show, we usually go out and get a drink. You know, we go out and we just go to the bar. And if you want to come join us, like they're waiting for that.
Yes.
They've never experienced the dude going, hey, great. Thanks. Thanks for coming by.
Long line.
See you later. Yep. It's always like, there's a step two to every conversation. Every conversation is a, hey, how you doing? And then there's a part where they go, listen, we're going out for a late dinner after the, you know, if you're around, or, hey, you know a good bar where I'll come by? Like, mm-hmm. That's every single conversation they've had has ended with that.
Right.
And so it's weird. Like, they stand there going like, well, why aren't we talking about more stuff for us to do?
We're not done here.
Yeah, in a way, it's sort of... I'm trying to think, because it's not the kind of, you know, everybody, you know, when somebody says, oh, your daughter's so beautiful or pretty or whatever, you go, oh, thank you. You know, you feel this sense of pride. But then there's this other part of you like, I don't want this to be the thrust of her existence,
right. Yeah.
Because it can very easily take the place of so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to give Tessa a nice good scar across the cheek.
That'd be good.
Just a little carving, just something smart. An imperfection. Yeah. It's distracting from her looks.
Yeah, it'll help.
She might end up being average, but just
still hot, but I think that scar did put her over the top.
Yeah.
Max Zapata's got a question or got a comment over here.
Oh, no, I have a story as well.
Yes.
I was a sophomore in high school, and I was in Spanish class, and in front of me, the hottest girl in school, Caitlin.
Yeah.
Reynolds. Whew. And
I know Caitlin.
Yeah, Brian does. Anyways, like just one day before class, she turns around, she looks at me. I mean, she hasn't talked to me ever. And she says, oh my God, I had a dream about you last night. And
wow.
I mean, that's
listening.
Exciting. And you know, the whole class just silences, like, oh my God, what's going on?
His desk lifts off the ground in his direction.
Yeah, she turns around, and then everyone's just listening in. I could just feel it, but I'm so excited. I'm already on cloud nine. I said, oh, really? I hope it was, you know, good things. And she says, well, you were gay. And then... Yeah, that I don't remember. I think I erased that part out of my brain.
His brain produced an enzyme that blocked out the rest of her dream.
Yeah.
Well, you have to, because it's like, like people do, like for post-traumatic stress, like really bad accidents, or your body goes into shock when you step on a landmine or something. It's literally your body goes, I can't remember this.
Yeah. A landmine would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
Would have been a step
good
up.
Alternative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of that, one of mine came to mind, especially now that I know it was inadvertent from the mouths of, I guess, babes. Junior prom. Mm-hmm. I had a ducky all through high school. I had just someone who just pined for me. We were great friends. He did everything for me, would leave cakes and tiramisus and everything from this restaurant he worked at on my porch in the morning before
school.
That
was your ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we went to junior prom together.
Did you have a James Spader?
No, but I had a Blaine.
Guy who wore Italian loafers and no socks and just smoked freely, walking up and down the hall and be like, hey, listen, sport. I don't know if you know how it goes over here, but us socias, we don't throw down with the poor chicks on the wrong side of track. And then a faculty member would enter the staircase, beat it, sis.
Just like that.
I got the 911 parked out front. You want to go talk by the car? I was like, who are these mythical guys? Yeah. I never. And by the way, Ray would have beat the shit out of those guys immediately. He would immediately sussed out that guy in his Don Johnson outfit and just beat the shit out of him in the hallway. But
going to school in linen suits.
Smoking in the hallway. You don't get it, sport. We're rich. Have you checked her dad's FICO score lately? No. Well, I was looking through his portfolio.
Yeah.
He's not diversified.
Oh, boy.
And
that's embarrassing.
I could say that twice. So even though she's super cute and New Balance 16, you still shouldn't be banging her because her dad's 401k is not exactly where we'd like it.
I'll bet no one could turn grad into a 10.
Yeah. Now, there's a hot freshman over there. I'm thinking about banging, but I want to talk to her financial planner first. I want to make sure. Speaking of Ducky, she's got her ducks in order.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to think about what happens after I get a blowjob from her.
Right.
You know, when she's 16.
Right. Her prospect for the future.
She's not one of us. Okay?
Future earning potential.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so insane because, like, when I was in high school, there's like, hey, yeah, who's that? Flori Aguilar. Yeah? She's hot. Yeah, she is.
Get her.
End of conversation.
That's it. It's not like, hold on a second. White collar, blue collar, 401k. I don't know what kind of pension plan her dad has. Mm-hmm. Is this a stay-at-home mom? What's going on? Yeah. Latchkey kid? No one gave a shit about anything. I'm looking at a chick wearing a pair of tight jeans and a blouse right now. That's enough discussion.
That's too much discussion.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking.
Should we go smoke in the hallway and decide whether we should let her have sex with us or
whatever
not?
Whatever we do, let's stop talking about it and do it.
So insane. All right. Yeah,
it was like you had
a ducky.
Yeah, I had a ducky all through high school. And we ended up going to junior prom together, which I just assumed you did with friends. You know, no big deal. We ended up going to super.
You knew he was in love with you, though.
Yeah,
right?
But I thought it was clear that I wasn't in love with him. So I didn't think anything of it.
It's never clear.
We went to this
It's never clear.
A 16-year-old Gina didn't know that.
It's clear that it's true now.
Right.
But if I can ply you with enough tiramisu, maybe you'll change your mind.
So we went to a very expensive restaurant downtown. We did the whole thing. He picked me up. We had the limo, the blah, blah, blah. Afterwards, a bunch of us went to, don't be jealous, the Holodome, which was like the fancy Holiday Inn in the Midwest with the pool in the like in the foyer.
Yeah, because only use it outside.
Good name for G's V.
That night was extremely hollow.
That's right.
So we go to the after party. Thank you. We're all hanging out in the hot tub. We're having fun. Then all of a sudden, this group of like a traveling team of hockey players gets in the hot tub. And now my focus is on all these hot dudes. I'm in my bikini, 16. We're all drinking, hanging out in the Holodome, having so much fun. And my ducky is looking at me like, what the fuck? What are you doing? I'm like, kind of brushing him off. So finally, after about an hour, I'm flirting with the guys. We're all having fun. He looks at me, goes, I'm going up to the room. I go, Okay.
Yeah,
bye.
Yeah.
And so he storms up to the room and then 5 minutes later storms back down. He goes, I can't believe you're doing this to me after everything I've done and dinner and all this stuff. And I, complete shock, complete naivete in front of all of these hot traveling hockey dudes, goes, oh, what, did you think this was a date?
Had a couple of those tweets.
So sorry, Ducky.
Did we read that tweet, or we had there's a tweet on that. Here's the whole thing.
That sounds like a universal theme. Did you think this was
a date? Believe me,
I've tried the storm off and pout move.
They don't follow you.
It
still doesn't work.
It's only effective when they don't want you to leave.
Yeah, which is rare.
When they do want you to leave, they don't seem to notice. Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like a homeless guy leaving you alone. You don't do that. Oh, where are you going? Yeah. It's like, good, fine.
Yeah, it's like,
bullet dodge.
Did you do that thing I secretly wanted you to do?
Yes.
Yeah. Leave?
Well, here's a similar tweet from Rex. He says, she said, I turn down guys all the time. And he said, lucky me. She said, this isn't a date. And he said, hope you brought your wallet. I don't know if I buy that last line.
No.
Yeah, Rex is playing it out.
Yeah, saving face.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. And we'll keep them coming because it seems very universal. And it seems very... God, we should just expand it to just super humiliating. One time, I got set up on a date with an actress. Very sweet. We met each other. Oh, she was like in a long-term relationship and... I don't think they'd clearly broken up or something. It's unclear. Unclear. Now, her name was Anita Barone, and we'd talked since.
Exactly.
And we had a sort of a laugh about it, but we went out on a date, and she did do sitcoms and parts and stuff like that. And at some point, you know, driving the pickup truck with the bench seat or something, pulled up in front of her condo or something, and I sort of like reached down between my legs and pulled out a bottle of wine.
Classy.
And I said, all right, I got a bottle of wine to, you know, for us to nurse back at the condo. And she's like, what's that for? Like, to bring up to the, up where? Like, for me to drink in the car in my carport when I get back to Santa Monica? Yeah. <It's> like, I was like, oh, God. Yeah.
It's hard to be a dude, too, huh?
It's hard to be a dude in a pickup truck with a lumber rack on it.
It sure is.
Yeah, Brian knows.
I had a crappy pickup truck for years.
I had a crappy mini pickup truck with like a bench seat, and it's like, it's already feel the coos drying up when they climb onto that vinyl bench seat, and it's like, ugh.
It's because of the vinyl.
I had a 91 Chevy S10 as late as 2001, and it was beat up.
Yeah. It's never good. The pickup truck is bad because it's not only a cheap vehicle, but it basically lets the world know what you do. See, if you drive a Prius or what have you, a Honda, you're not necessarily poor or rich or you're not necessarily work with kids or work with numbers or work with no one knows.
You have a sensible, fuel efficient car.
Yes.
Safe.
Me with the bed with the lumber rack and the bed toolbox strapped to the thing, let everyone know I was just a poor carpenter.
And that was from the mouths of babes. I like
earlier, hearing this story. Earlier you said that you and Corolla don't talk off air. It's because you're too busy kissing. We all know it.
Yeah, I'm too busy macking hard.
Yeah, you guys traveling out of town together.
Yeah.
We don't have time to talk. We know what's going on.
Exactly. You guys get it. Before we get to the next clip, I got to let everybody know about Sue the Collector. Over 40 million people are unemployed right now. Tough times. It's hitting everybody, and that means bills will go unpaid. But does that mean debt collectors can mistreat you or be abusive in trying to collect those debts? The answer is no. That's right. The Sue the Collector is here. In fact, a debt collector lies to you, is verbally abusive, or treats you unfairly. You don't have to put up with that bad behavior. So what you do is you get free legal help at SueTheCollector.com, where skilled consumer law attorneys will take your case for free and, 1, eliminate the debt that you owe, 2, pay you up to $1,000, and 3, erase any errors on your credit report that were caused through no fault of your own. You got to do this.
It's a great deal.
It's such a great deal. Get a free attorney, plus win up to $1,000, and get the debt erased forever. I mean, come on. That's a 1-2-3. That's what the team at Sue the Collector can offer, and they never charge for their services. That's suethecollector.com, SUETHECOLLECTOR.com. Check it out.
Have an advocate. Don't let people abuse you or walk all over you. Now you can have a third party that can step in and make sure everything's done fairly.
Correct. All right, let's get back to some clips. This is from 2015, and musician Matt Nathanson came in, and he is an old friend of our previous news girl, Allison Rosen. So it was a nice little reunion for them.
Indeed. He showed up in the studio to play some live music. Showed up ready to play, so they just jump into a song, Girl in the Kink Shirt. They explain the story behind that song, and Adam drops a little tidbit about one of Allison's former boyfriends that Matt missed out on because it was a different stage of her life. Adam Carolla Show, 1178, Matt Nathanson, Aaron Tapp, who joins him for background vocals and some guitar work and then is kicked out of the studio, David Wilde, who's in the earlier portion of the show, not this clip, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. Again, this is from October of 2013. Check it out.
I should learn to sing along in your bedroom out on Terraval. We were haunted by everything we wanted. Kill the lights.
We is back. Matt Nathanson is here. He's going to perform live for us. Last of the Great Pretenders is the name of the new album. Available on Amazon and iTunes as well. You know what to do. I got questions because my good buddy Bobcat Goldthwait actually directed one of his videos, so we can talk about that. Matt, I'll tell you what. You're all set up, so you tell us the first song we're going to hear. Play it, and then sit down, and we'll chat.
Cool. So this is Kink Shirt, which is the song that Bob did the video for.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It's all there in your chipped red fingernails. Oh, oh, oh. It's all there in the twist of your pigtails. Oh, 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 oh. It's the way she walks, the way she talks. I can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Take me home, San Francisco. Can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. You and my imagination. You and my imagination. You and my imagination. Can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Oh, oh, oh. Sidewalk mariachi. I see you in your party dress. Played out Sid and Nancy. Bring on the apocalypse. I don't need no songs playing on the radio. Oh, oh, oh. I get my truth from your thrift store halo. Oh, 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 oh. It's the way she walks, the way she talks. Can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Take me home, San Francisco. Can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. You and my imagination. You and my imagination. You and my imagination. Can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Getting what you want can break your heart. Getting what you want can break your heart. Oh, baby, and I'm getting what you want. It's gonna break you. It's gonna break you. Gonna break your heart. The way she walks, the way she talks.
can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Take me home to San Francisco. I can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. You and my imagination. You and my imagination. You and my imagination. Can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Oh, can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt. Oh, I can't stop thinking about the girl in the kink shirt.
Matt Nathanson. Matt, tell us who was backing you up so we can give him some credit, too.
Mr. Aaron Tapp on the singing and the acoustic.
Nice job, Aaron Tapp. Sounded fantastic. It was funny. Aaron hit the bricks. Matt, have a seat. That was the song I was listening to on the ride in, and I thought it was the girl in the Kings shirt, and I thought, is that a hockey sweater? Is she a Kings fan? And then I thought, oh, no. He said San Francisco, Bay Area, up north. Sacramento Kings. I was trying to, you know, your brain frantically tries to connect.
She's a big
dots.
Chris Webber fan.
She's a powerful woman. She like bench presses like Volkswagens. Those fans are no joke.
Sure.
The Kings fans.
Yeah, but we were talking about the Come Dancing and the Lola Kings. Very nice, by the way. Sounded amazing.
Cool. It was fun.
Yeah. Dawson gets a lot of credit for doing his mixing and setting everything up very nicely.
Sounded sweet
here.
In here.
Last of the Great
Song
Pretenders.
About...
Yes.
Sorry.
That's all right. Let's give it a plug. Last of the Great Pretenders. It's available on iTunes and Amazon. And, ask a question, Allison, and then I want to hear about Bobcat.
Is that song about masturbation?
Most songs are about masturbation. Okay. I mean, what's up? I'm a man. I mean, female, too. I mean, everybody. What part of it gives you the indication that there's masturbation? Like, what's so overt?
The can't stop thinking about her and the mention of her in your imagination.
Let's talk just historically about the men you've dated.
Oh, God.
That,
Well, you guys go way back.
I don't think you know them.
That there's a chronic master. Have you dated chronic masturbators?
My fiancé Daniel.
I feel like I've dated average masturbators.
My fiancé Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the Aryan guy? You hear about him?
No, that was post. Wait, post like us knowing. I accidentally went out with a white pride guy.
What?
Yeah.
Hey. Mm-hmm. He just had pride in his Celtic heritage, mm-hmm. and also...
Yeah, he didn't hate other races. He just liked his a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like he heiled Hitler. I mean, yes, he raised his arm.
How was that dinner? That sounds awesome.
No, it was a horrible...
Rally with
night
fire?
Of, no,
men
off,
in hoods.
Off-roading in a place where cars weren't supposed to go. And by the way, if the Jeep rolls, just step out. That's what he told me. It was awful.
Just
the whole
step
thing was
out.
Awful. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Long way from NYU, baby. Long way.
That's incredible.
So, you know, it's funny. I wasn't thinking about masturbation, and
it's weird that I was.
Do.
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't about that then.
No, it was about a waitress that was – so we made this record in San Francisco and down the street from my house pretty much. And every day we'd go to this cafe, and there was this fucking brutally hot waitress, and she just had tattoos. She looked like she would beat you, and so mm-hmm. of course we were like in love with her, mm-hmm. and she was super nice. And so she came to the table every day. It was like the five of us, five guys, and she'd be like, "What would you like to eat?" And we'd be like, "You know, you can like talk." We'd be like, "Milkshake." And she ended up being super nice. And so one of the producers was like, "You got to write a song about the waitress. We love her." And so I did.
How did you get Bobcat to direct the video, or how'd you get hooked up with Bobcat?
So Bob, I did a thing with him, a comedy thing up in San Francisco for Sketchfest.
Mm-hmm.
But he married a friend of mine, Sarah, that I went to college with, Sarah DeSirago.
Yeah, Sarah has tattoos too, right?
Yeah, lots of tattoos.
Yes, yes, I know Sarah well. They basically work together,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yep. And so I knew Bob through her, but I'd done this thing with him, and he's a Kinks fan, like super Kinks fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, do you think Bob would be into doing a video?
Bob's a really good director. Bob has directed a lot of cool movies on his own. And he also, when we did The Man Show, he used to direct lots of bits for us. And he's just a guy that's really good to work with. Mm-hmm. And he's just a real – I think kind of that's his calling.
He's
really
directed like four or five films, and they've each gotten better. Like the last one was really, really – God Bless America. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and he has a new one about Bigfoot.
And that was Matt Nathanson playing Girl in the Kink Shirt. I like that song.
Yeah, Adam liked it too. He was listening to it on his way into the show, and he kept thinking it was Girl in the King Shirt. And he's like, that's weird. What's Matt's hockey history? He must be a fan from here.
Right.
Like, he's trying to break it down. Instead of just, maybe it's just a band. Maybe the chick likes a band.
Very rarely will a band write a song because they're a huge sports fan.
Unless you're talking about like Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Pearl Jam would totally do it.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to the next clip, did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
I got mine. I actually did get my 15% credit, not for an RV, because I don't actually own one. That's a running bit. The 15, it's great. I'm very happy with my policy.
That's right. What are you guys waiting for? Geo did it. We're all doing it. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. And there's never been a better time to switch to Geico than right now. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, let's keep going with the clips. I'm nervous about this one, Gio.
Because you're a narcissist?
Yeah, maybe. This is when we reveal...
And you shave all your pubes?
The staff narcissism test, and that I shave all my pubes. Or is it? I don't remember.
You have an itch. It was such an interesting workplace where they have to force you to do a narcissism test and expose the results to the world.
I'll tell you.
And also, tell us what kind of pubic hair grooming you do, and we're all going to tell the whole audience about that too. Stat.
If somebody's walking around the studio with a buck slip, taking a poll, get as far away from that person as possible, because whatever they're going to ask you is not good.
And Rich Banks might write a song about it one day.
Very true. Oh, yeah. Nothing is safe.
It's Adam Carolla Show 2123 featuring Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. Again, no guest. See? This one's from July of 2017. Caller wants to know Adam's boxing history. It's pretty fascinating. Narcissism test results and pubic hair pull. Check it out.
Boxing and then a thing and then... Get in some news. Oh, yeah, we got the results on our we got a couple results to give. We got the pubic hair one, and we have Drew and his narcissism test. The whole staff took it. I'm interested in this. Jamie?
Hey, Ace Man.
37, San Diego.
I've been listening to you for about 4 years, and I heard you talking about your boxing class just a couple of days ago, and it dawned on me that I've never heard the story about how and when you got into boxing. You had a shitty childhood, and you played high school football, and you rode some unicycles, and then smash cut, you're a boxing instructor. So I was just hoping you'd connect those dots for us.
I always liked boxing, and I thought it was something I could do. And so when I was like 19, I joined this Montoya gym for like $9 a month that was behind the Olympic gym in L.A. I just had nothing to do. I rode my motorcycle down there, and it would just work out for 2 hours, and it was like this really dingy, it was like a crazy place. Like it had a big folding table with all the waters on it. This is before everyone with their bottled water and everything. These were milk containers, like quart plastic milk containers, and Sunny D bottles. And there was just like a dozen of them, and they'd just be topped off like from the sink, and everyone would pick them up and, you know, dump them. You know, you wouldn't put your lips around it. You just kind of dump it in your mouth, and then you'd set it back down. And when the guy was done sparring in front of you, he'd take the headgear off, like the leather headgear off, and they'd go, all right, and he'd just put it on you and cinch it down. Same with the gloves, because, you know, headgear was $41. Like that was, when I was 19, I was a princely sum, gloves and all that kind of stuff. But that was about it. And then I just stayed with it. And at a certain point, teaching boxing became a job because this white collar boxing thing came around 10 years later.
And
it was like, oh, I could do this. And it was anything not to do construction, like anything just to work.
Yeah, you're inside working out, air conditioned.
Yeah, where like you could talk to people and have a little audience, you know, and I just, it was fun. It was like, it was an easy, I got paid $20 a class. I didn't really make any money, but after doing construction in the heat with all the guys that couldn't speak English, and worse, the guys that could. Now you had to talk to. I'm getting a new, pipe for my jet ski. We're going to the lake. That's all we would talk about. And
Angel, you're just like, careful what you wish for.
Right.
You want to talk to the guy.
So now I got to like talk to people, and I had a guy who was a commercial airline pilot, a guy who was editor in chief of the Los Angeles Times, and I had these cool guys in my class, and I'm like, oh, we'd be talking to like professional dudes. I never met a guy that was a captain for Delta Airlines or a guy ran a newspaper. Like, these are all crazy. Like, I never had a conversation with anybody who did anything.
And I'm thinking about it now, like boxing coach slash trainer slash whatever, yoga instructor, whatever that is kind of one of those rare blue collar things. Like, you couldn't have access to those types of people and have a conversation like that if you're a waiter, you know what I mean? Or if you're maybe a bartender, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
It's one of those few jobs where
you're right.
Have
no, we would access. We'd go out for lunch on a Saturday. Like, they wanted to hang out. I want to hang out. It was the first time I kind of realized I'm sort of like these people. I'm not, I thought I was with the Rays and my parents and all the idiots who grew up in the Valley. I was like, I think I have more in common with these guys. Yeah. And also they would say, like, they would laugh and go, oh, that's smart. You should write that down. That's a good one. Is that yours or something? I'd go, yeah, it is. I go, well, that's a good one. And I go, well, the smart person is validating me, which I'd never had that.
Your first audience.
Not a smart person or someone validating.
Right. So
that's two things.
I just kind of quickly realized, like, I think I should hang out with these people more than my crew.
Did,
and,
did
the
you
rest
have like
history?
Did you have like a Mickey, like a mentor?
Oh,
Floyd.
Women weak in knees.
No,
Mickey loves ya.
I didn't have. I had a guy named Bruce, and Bruce basically just said, "If you build the gym in Pasadena, I'll let you teach there." So I built him a gym.
What a sweet deal. Bruce was a savvy operator.
Oh, so you didn't.
I was desperate, so I did, and then I got to teach him. But I taught like five classes a week at $20 a class, and then I had a couple of privates that I just charged $20 for, too. So I really wasn't making that much money. But it led me to Jimmy. It led me to K-Rock. And it just sort of led me out of the blue-collar world. I guess you guys can sort of think about this. Like, you go to a restaurant and you see like what's going on in the kitchen. People coming by holding like racks of things, or you're driving in your car and it's like air conditioned. You see the guys by the side of the road with the jackhammer, or you go down the airport and you see the guys out on the tarmac, like dragging luggage around or something. When you're on that side of the glass, it's very isolated, and it's kind of lonesome, and you just sort of walk around. Like, it's like you feel like that hot chick in Cool Hand Luke who's like washing the car, and all the inmates are just looking at her. You're just like an inmate.
Hoping that button will break.
You're just like an inmate at a women's prison, and Chelsea Handler comes in to do a set, and you're just sitting there, like, looking at her, like, I bet she goes home. I bet she has air conditioning. I bet she's got one of those refrigerators that's, like, 4 foot wide.
Yeah.
Two TVs and a remote.
Right. Probably got cooling and heating in her seats in her car. Like, you sit on this side of the glass of life, and you just watch people, and it's like, they're pulling out their credit cards, or they're I would go to their house to do some work on their house, and you look and you see pictures of them on a ski vacation with their family, or now they're in Hawaii in the next picture, and you just sort of get back into your truck where the crank is busted on the window, and you just go, I guess there's them, and then there's us. We're over here. We're the people. You kind of don't acknowledge. Like I said, you go to a restaurant, you're aware that there's some noise coming from the kitchen, but you don't really go, I really want to investigate.
Yeah.
And the guys, at the end of the night, first off, a lot of that stuff, like, by the time you're done with your shift, you're like hosing yourself off. Mm-hmm. Like, you've sweated through your shirt, and we used to clean carpet and stuff, and it'd be like, we'd show up while everyone was leaving the restaurant, we'd have to wait for them to clear out, and then we'd come in and lock the door, and we'd sweat, and you'd smell, and it's that kind of thing where it's like, sometimes you see the busboys riding their 10 speeds, home. Yeah. Not their own. They stole them. But riding a 10-speed home in the middle of the night, like if you're coming home on a Saturday night from a party, it's like 2 a.m. and you see the guy, and it's like that guy.
The black slacks. White, yeah. Like dirty white.
You don't know. You've never had a conversation with that guy. It's just that's the sort of the haves and the have-nots. When you live in that world, all you do is really tell stories about the other world. And you
like,
have these,
like, what must it be like?
Like, you have these things where it's like somebody calls, like, we would break into the Mulholland Club and there'd be remnants of food from a bar mitzvah or a wedding or party, like, laid out. It's plates. We'd be picking stuff off it and kind of imagining what event took place here. Every once in a while, we knew a girl named Janie whose parents were rich and they were in a country club. And it was like some sort of Encino country club. And three times a year, she'd bring us all in to hit the Sunday buffet where they had the guy with the omelet maker and the waffle maker. And we'd just be, you know, you'd show up and you'd see out front, like a bunch of Mercedes parked out there, guy walking around in full tennis gear or full golf gear, setting the clubs down there. And you just look at it like a whole bag of golf clubs. I don't think those are rented. I think he owns those golf clubs. Where did he go? How much you pay for those things? Where do you even get them? Like, that's him. That's his life. And then some guy brings the clubs out and, you know, weird things like when he's done with the whole thing, he just signs for it and walks away. Like, where's the cash? They trust him. He's going to the bathroom. He may sneak out the window. Like, just this weird, it's like you're born 100 years ago and you're looking at people in their horseless carriages and they're modern, they're flying birds, they're steel birds and whatever. And you're like, who are these people? What are they doing? And then they start telling you stories. You know,
matter of factly, too.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't study in Zurich the whole time. I did 1 year.
Yeah, they'll slip
one
in.
Year in college. I went to Zurich, and I just, and it's everything so matter of fact. Like, you went to Zurich to study? How did that work? Sign up.
Yeah.
And they'll slip in, like, incidental details that to them are incidental, but to you are mind blowing. Like, oh, yeah, then, you know, that was the summer after I was in Japan. Like, what?
Right, right.
They're
not, but
they're
then,
never like, I know, right?
Well, you can get a Euro Rail pass and you can go all through Europe. I mean, but you should have 5 weeks. And it's
a semester at sea.
What? What? How does this work? What goes on? And so when you're on that side, like the construction side, especially because you're like building people these houses and it's who are like, I remember building a house in Malibu and like the couple's really attractive and the wife's really hot and they drive nice cars and you're kind of trying to be invisible, but you also kind of want to know what's going on with them and what maybe you could learn something. So the entire thing is about just sort of breaking through from being on that side of the glass and being up on the roof and doing all the work and side of the road, all the people you pass when you're driving and go, the guy in the car with the air conditioning and the platinum car is really not that much different than I am. It's just we come from totally different worlds. And whenever anyone talks about the socioeconomic inequalities and this, that, it's the information. That's the chasm. It's not this guy makes this much and that guy makes that much. It's this guy doesn't even know that this world exists. He sees it. Like when I was 19, I'd go to Ray's house apartment on Friday nights. We'd watch Dynasty. We just sit there going, now during the commercials, we would argue over who got to sit in the cab of the pickup truck and who had to ride in the bed of the pickup truck when we went to the job the next day because Chris was picking us up. But we would watch Dynasty and just watch and just marvel. You know what I mean? Like women with earrings want to know if they matched a gown and stuff like that. We just stare at it.
Yeah. Slapping each other inside a fountain.
When I found out that those guys and me weren't so far apart, it was revelatory.
I imagine it would be, especially if growing up, you know, with that knowledge to that point, you know, it hadn't changed.
Yeah, and what they also do from losers like my parents is they feed you a steady diet of those guys are the enemy, they're bad, their job is to make a ton of money by ripping off indigenous people and then pay you as little as possible to come to their house and work on, be a servant, essentially, to them. Don't listen to them. And by the way, if they do have money, it's either ill-gotten gain or it's just daddy's money.
Yeah.
Somebody gave
it to
them. They got lucky. Whatever.
They don't deserve
it. Right time, right place. Yeah. Somebody died, left them that. They didn't earn that, you know. And then they'd pause and go, and you know they're miserable. And I'd go, wow.
By happiness.
They didn't look
miserable.
I've
seen a couple of those pictures of them skiing on vacation. They seem pretty happy to me. They're
smiles.
Fine actors and actresses, but yeah.
And I don't mean to add fuel to this fire, but when they say, you know, they didn't earn it, was your mom earning the food stamps?
In a weird way.
Okay.
In a weird way, she deserved them.
Right. She worked pretty hard at not working.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Calorie burner. Yes.
I know you're getting onto this, Reed, but I love this idea that the blue-collar job where we have the window into the other world, the other life. Like, I never thought about it in those terms, but my version was in high school, my job, my after-school job, worked at a grocery store for 2 years. I was a bagger, you know, just the guy that bags of groceries. But it was like a Bristol Farms kind of store. I don't know if it's a nationwide chain, but it was a small high-end store. And so the part of my job was to, you know, help ladies or whoever, you know, needed the help out to their car with groceries. And I'm, you know, a teenager making probably minimum wage at the time, $6-7 an hour. And I would help, help their groceries, ma'am. Yes, please. I'll walk them out to their Mercedes or the Jaguar or their whatever, because, and it's like, oh yeah, you're rich. I forgot you shop here. You're rich and I'm helping you and I'm get to see you in your, in this whole.
They seemed like they're from a different planet.
Yeah.
And
but we were just having a conversation. Yeah, we were just talking about whatever's going on in the world.
You see the whole time they've been looking down on you.
Exactly. Now I realize how you see me.
Yeah, so the biggest thing I would like for anybody who's on the other side of the glass is simple exposure to this. And it's why I go nuts when politicians go, I wish I could tell you the field was level, but it's not. Like, okay, now the guy on the other side of the glass just got further away from the air conditioning.
Give it up a little bit.
Well, you told him to give up. It's that guy, people in there with the credit cards and the air conditioning. Yeah, it's the field's not level. And guess who's sliding down the lower side of it? All right, Mike, 42, Arizona.
Adam, thank you.
Yes, you have a question?
I do. So we launched a business about 2 years ago. And with that, we decided podcasting would be the way that we'd get the message out in the marketplace. The podcast launched in October of last year. We publish content weekly, and the audience isn't growing at the rate that I want it to grow. So I've got to be careful about, you know, I've got to be patient as I go through this and trust the process. But I'm also trying to figure out, how do I know whether or not we're on the right track, whether or not we're delivering the right message, whether or not this is the right thing to do? Like, what? You know, how did you know that the podcast was working when you guys first launched?
Well, we got good numbers initially, but again, it didn't really mean anything. It's sort of like having a refinery 5 years before the internal combustion engine is invented. Like, we had a lot of the surplus, but no place to sell it, nothing to do with it. I have never really been a big fan of plotting. I simply tune yourself in, have a feeling, go do it. And keep moving. Now, if it's not working, you can't dwell on it. You have to kind of move on reality's terms. But my thing is, if you want to do a podcast, and you should do a podcast, and if it's getting traction, that's great. If it's not, well, then you're just doing a podcast, which is something you wanted to do anyway. Now, if you're dumping a bunch of money into it and have investors and that kind of stuff, that's a different story.
But this doesn't really sound like a passion project, right? The podcast leg of this business venture? Sounds like just another outlet.
Yeah, I mean, passion from the standpoint of getting good information out into the marketplace, like good information for people. It's the basic stuff. It's a lot of the stuff you guys talk about, which is this idea of do good things well, good things will follow.
What is the product? Is there a product that this is associated with?
Yeah, we're a sales consulting organization, so we build sales teams for startups. The product itself downstream will be a learning product for sales professionals, which will, you know, teach foundational skills, the basics, and then have some accountability metrics built in to help keep people on track. But when we started this, I knew that I wouldn't blog, I wouldn't write things. So I knew that if, but I did know that if I'm in front of a microphone, I can talk and I can share that message. So it became a way of documenting the message, getting the information captured, and then now we've got it captured and we can do different things.
With now it. This is interesting. That's Huell Hauser from the grave, Mike. I wish I had. I don't. There's no.
These are the kind of questions you're going to get at the master class.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's true, and so, I will answer them. That's Irvine Improv. That is next Saturday. Next, this next. Right, August 5th. Right. So here's this. I'm having this thought, which is, public speaking used to be a top one or two phobia. Mm-hmm. Now that everybody is videotaping themselves, things like, remember when people would hate to hear their voice?
Yes.
On a phone machine.
My grandma
or
wouldn't
like
speak
that.
On the home movies because right. She didn't like her voice sound.
Right. Like, all this stuff. I don't know if this is going to be a phobia anymore. Like, people used to be stage shy and really difficult. Like here, I guess here would be the yardstick. 40 years ago, if you asked your average maid of honor to deliver a speech at a wedding with 100 people, she'd be nervous as shit getting up. She'd be thinking, she'd probably be up in her head about it.
Rehearsing.
Probably have a couple of glasses of champagne to take the edge off. You'd see her holding the paper in her hand, kind of shaking a little bit. I don't think Natalia's going to have this problem.
If anyone's not.
Nope. She'll not now.
So I just... But I don't think her friends are either. Like they're like Facebooking and chatting back and forth, and everyone's
putting
in front of
content.
Everything. And this thing of like this, what was the number one phobia, is now just sort of part of everyone's technology in life.
Yep.
All right. So we have our pubic hair results, part two. They were sort of ambiguously worded before. So Gary will tell us how many people participate in this poll, Gary?
6,166, which is about 800 more, I believe, give or take, than the last one.
All right. What kind of pubic hair do men prefer on women? Completely shaven / waxed, 39%.
Wow.
Higher than I would have thought. Landing strip, 24%. Groomed with a natural look, 30%. Okay. That feels about right. And full bush.
Once again, in all caps.
7%.
We're going for consistency, Brian.
Like where's our check mark? Don't we have a check mark?
I got it's highlighted blue, so I'm guessing they voted.
No, the one that we voted for collectively.
The winning one.
And
last
again,
time we had a check mark.
The completely shaven / waxed. There has to be two things. There has to be some sort of Mason-Dixon line of guys over 40 or under 40 or over 35 or under 35. I can't believe that there's a bunch of 55-year-old guys who are going full shaved. It's this not part of the generation. The other thing is every once in a while you'll see a guy, he's got kind of a weak jawline and he grows a beard and he kind of shapes it up.
Same thing.
Not all and you know, Brian, God bless Brian over here. He's got a good-looking bald head, but some guys don't have a good-looking bald head, and some gals don't have a good-looking bald vagine.
Lumpy.
That's got to be...
And the heads, too.
You gotta factor that in, right?
Absolutely. Well,
and I swear to God, I'm not being willfully obtuse here. I didn't know that vaginas look that different from each other. I figured what you see is what you get. That is untrue. From what I understand, a lot of different things coming out and staying
it's
in.
Real horror shows.
Yes.
Shut up, Brian.
Well, basically what I'm saying is some, you should adopt the most flattering
hairstyle.
Right.
Yep.
Or lack thereof.
What God gave you.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about, trying to figure this one out, I realize, you know, women, all they do is whine about, we have to sit down and you go to the bathroom and you guys, you know.
That's all they whine about.
All they talk about. No, but when they have to take a whiz and we're on a road trip and you do that move where you just pull off onto the side road and you take a leak out, women hate that. Yeah. They know, I wish I could do that. But I would say, remember, and no one ever really talks about the yin and the yang here. Guys, when you walk into the bathroom and we're sitting on the toilet, we're only doing one thing. And I was thinking about this, which is getting caught taking a leak. It's always embarrassing when you're in the bathroom and somebody comes walking in. I'm working on my house. I'm using like the kids' bathroom and stuff like that. And it's kind of like people are walking in.
Right.
Walking in, taking a leak is really a 1.5 or 2.
Yeah, nothing
there. There's almost. Not much there. Walking in, taking a dump is a big deal. And for women, now here should be our next poll. When I walk in and a woman's on the toilet,
what kind of pubic hair would you like her to have?
I assume 100% of the time she's taking a leak. I never assume she's taking a dump. And obviously there's some tells. Mm-hmm. But just open but literally just like opening the door and seeing someone, you know, excuse you, and you shut the door.
That's
always assuming she's urinating. Statistically, that can't be right.
Right.
They have to be dropping a deuce at least 32% of the time.
Plausible deniability, though. I'm happy to believe.
When you walk in on a dude and he's sitting, it's 100%. Yep. Mm-hmm. And again, since peeing isn't a big deal, but dropping the deuce is.
More
and
offensive.
since we always assume you're taking a whiz, when you're sitting, you never really get that judgment. Mm-hmm.
That is a very good point. Very astute.
And I don't know, do guys, do you assume when you walk in on your wife or your girlfriend or whomever, whatever, your sister, I just assume they're taking a whiz. And maybe it's just because I like to think that way.
I think there's an enzyme my brain releases that's like, she's just peeing. She's just peeing.
Right,
she's just peeing.
Right.
But what? Yeah, like if I default to pee.
Right. So I would like to implement, and it'd be on the honor system, which is, ladies, when you're dropping a deuce, you have to cross your feet.
Oh, you want it? You want to know?
It's only fair.
Well, that seems like
You know when we're dropping a deuce. Why can't we know when you're dropping a deuce?
Can it at least be the other way around? Cross your feet when you're peeing? Because I don't think that's a conducive way to sit.
Yeah. Very good point.
Thanks. We'll work it out. Make it like the Hulk Hogan like pose. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Give him a little, I'm a real American.
Yeah. And we want to know, though. And it's only fair that we know because you guys know definitively. You know 100% that if you walk in, we're dropping a deuce and that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's not fair.
All right.
Competitive advantage.
Hey, if that's the new rule, it literally only affects me and you got it.
All right. Also, we took Dr. Drew's test, his narcissism test.
We've heard about this since Loveline.
Yeah, I took it and got a pretty high score back in the day. And then Drew and I took it together just recently on our podcast. And I think he got a 6 and I got like a 12.
That's correct.
6?
He's full of shit,
That's
though.
That's impossible, isn't it?
I don't know if this would help set this up, but I have a short clip from this week's A&D where Drew kind of defines what narcissism is, at least in his eyes and in the eyes of this test.
Okay.
So narcissism is not necessarily self-importance, not necessarily. It can be self-preoccupation, but not necessarily. It's not egotism. It's at its core a difficulty in appreciating other people's feelings.
Well, that I lose out on.
Yeah. And so that's really what we're trying
to document. Although I just listened to his feelings
egotism,
about it.
But narcissism, which is a little different thing.
Okay.
All right.
So Drew's narcissism test rates you in the following categories. Possible outcomes are low, medium, or high.
Authority, self-sufficiency, superiority, exhibitionism, exploitativeness, vanity, and entitlement.
All right.
Those are the areas they're going to
score you on.
I probably, I shouted out my number early on, so surprise, surprise. But Dawson, you got a breakdown of the crew?
Yeah, first of all, any guesses on who maybe scored the highest or the lowest of our team?
You and Brian are always in the clubhouse fighting
for
it
lowest,
out.
For lowest.
Come on, Brian.
God.
Yeah, I don't. The test is so weird, and I can't really judge because the first time I took it, I was extremely high, and I feel like I have like low self-esteem. But the part where other people don't exist, I have a lot of that too. So it's not all. It's really hard to rid yourself of the thought. When you hear narcissism, you picture standing in front of a mirror.
Yeah, and there were a lot of questions. Oh, we took the test. There were a lot of questions about, do you like looking at yourself in the mirror? Do you are you constantly, not constantly, but do you stop and look in a mirror when you pass it? Things of that nature.
Right.
Right. Okay. Let's
would you like to start with the lowest score first?
Yeah, let's start with the lowest first.
Okay, the lowest score, scoring an average of low in everything except for superiority, where this person scored a medium.
Lynch, right?
Brian Bishop.
What?
Wow.
What?
With a score of 4.
4.
I took this
test
knowing that there would be controversy. I took this test again, and like I went back, and like these are the questions I really didn't quite feel so strongly about, so I changed my answer, and I got a 7. So mm-hmm. I'm somewhere between a 4 and a 7.
Which still, by the way, would put him as the lowest score in the clubhouse.
Interesting. Now, I'm Drew shocked. Brought something up. Do you remember what Drew said about his 6? Gary, do you remember what he talked
I'm
about?
Sorry, one more time?
Drew getting a 6. Do you remember what he had to say about that?
I can pull the clip up for you. I've got it queued up here if you just give me a moment.
You have Drew in our final score and what he had thought. Because he had something Brian will be interested in hearing about his abnormally low score. All right. Well
let me also just say, I realized as soon as I saw the score, because I was really fearing I was going to get like a 20. It's out of 35 or something. Or a 30.
40, I think.
Four, so.
Whatever.
No, 34 is what Robin Quivers got.
That's right. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get a 25, 26. Yeah. And I got a 4. I think it's important. Don't confuse narcissism with smugness. You can accuse me of a lot of. Like, you can criticize me validly for a lot of things. I do not think I am narcissistic in the least.
You're very chivalrous. You're very generous.
I think I am, but I am smug, and that is a personality flaw of me. And don't confuse the two because they're not the same. I am quite smug, but I don't think I'm narcissistic.
It's a good point.
Very good point.
So do we have what? Although, enjoy the victory.
Well,
hear what Drew had to say about his 6.
Yeah, this starts with Chris revealing his score to him.
Dr. Drew.
What am I?
6.
Oh. Yeah. That's actually pathological. That's actually getting too low.
Based on his logic of, I like to spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. I don't care what people think I look like. Please.
Yeah, but that's the effed up
psychology,
we'll talk to
Drew about what too low means.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, no, I wouldn't love to know. It didn't sound very good.
All right, keep it going.
All right, next up, with a score of 10, averaging low in everything except for a medium in superiority and a medium in exploitativeness, Mike Lynch.
Oh, there you go.
With a 10.
Yeah, the world. All is right again.
Up next, scoring medium in authority and medium in self-sufficiency, low everywhere else with a score of 11, Chris Loxamana.
I was going to guess Chris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next up, scoring mediums in authority, superiority, exploitativeness, and vanity.
We shot some hype music.
With low everywhere else, and a score of 12, Kalen Bean.
Oh, I tied Kalen.
So. All right.
Next up, scoring medium in authority and self-sufficiency, and low everywhere else with a score of 12, Gary Smith.
No, it's a 3-way tie.
On 12.
Next up with medium scores in authority, self-sufficiency, and superiority. Low scores everywhere else. Score of 14, Matt Fondelier.
Boom.
Porcelain Punisher. Seeker of pleasure.
Boom.
Punisher of porcelain.
Next with... a medium superiority, medium in exhibitionism, exploitativeness, vanity, entitlement, and a low in authority and self-sufficiency. A score of 15 is Dylan.
Dylan.
Next up with, we're going to see our first high scores coming in.
All right.
Mediums in self-sufficiency, exploitativeness, and vanity. Lows in entitlement, exhibitionism, and authority, and a high score of superiority with a final score of 17, Gina Grad.
All right.
Let me say this.
I had no idea I felt so superior.
I had Christy take the test, and she got a 14. I think this test is gender biased a little bit, because there's a lot of questions about,
that's a good
do you care about how you look? Do you like when other people compliment on your looks? And I think for most dudes, we don't care. But I know when Christy wears something new to the office, she's like, oh, I got a lot of compliments on my blah, blah, blah.
That's a very good point.
I think that's normal for girls and not normal for guys.
That's interesting. We should ask Drew about that. But on
this test is flawed.
But see, he would probably say, you saying you liked being complimented on your looks wouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh, right. It's possible.
According to this test, because this test, it's not as straightforward as hey, I look good in this, right. And people know it. Right. And so thus my score is going to go up, I think. Okay. But we should ask him.
And it says the average score for the average American is 15.
Average score is 15.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We are definitely above the average now, with mediums in authority, self-sufficiency, superiority, vanity, and entitlement, a low in exploitativeness, and a high in exhibitionism, with a score of 21, Dawson.
Yeah. Wow.
Dawson's a musician. He should be high in exhibitionism.
Yeah, exactly.
Want to get on stage.
One of the questions was, if someone dares you to do something, you're going to do it. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to do it.
That was a hard no.
Okay.
Wait, we're still going?
We have one more.
Oh, my God.
Our winner. Or.
Winner.
With a medium score of authority, a low score of self-sufficiency, a high score of superiority, a medium score of exhibitionism, a high score of exploitativeness, a high score of vanity, and a medium score of entitlement, Nick Davis.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
With a score of 25.
Well done, sir.
All right.
I love that he has high superiority and low self-sufficiency.
You're all going to do this for me. Don't argue with me.
But, all right. But Nick and I did tie for the lowest on the snowflake test. So Nick is a real conundrum. Hmm.
Yeah, we'll get Drew in one of these days and figure out some of this stuff.
And that was a nice little slice of 2017 talking about Adam's boxing history, the staff narcissism test results, and the pubic hair poll, the infamous pubic hair poll. I don't even remember doing that. Maybe I purposely deleted it from my brain. But
if somebody really wanted to mess with you, they should like just hire like one of those sexual harassment seminar people and just send them by Cruel Digital. Like, you got to get a hold of these guys.
Who knows what would happen? Yeah, there'd be nobody working here anymore. Can't happen in the apartment.
The guy they'd sleep out on the doorstep like that homeless guy and try to fight Adam.
Very true. That could easily happen. Probably be Gary. Anyway, speaking of hair, Gio. I got some grays in the beard, and I'm a little worried about it, and some up top, too. So, what I gotta do, and what anybody needs to do if they're having this issue, is just check out MadisonReedMister.com, because it's a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. Very easy to use. They give you the box, has the color gel, the activator, takes 10 minutes, and you rinse and shampoo, and boom, you're looking fine. And they deliver right to your door. Adam Carolla used it. I put it in his car and I said, go home. You got to try this thing out. Gets in his car, comes back the next day, and he is looking hot. Thanks to Madison Reed Mister. So go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use the code Adam for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's the code Adam. Gio, I'm liking the musical performances today.
Oh yeah, I'm loving them.
So why don't we finish this one off with another classic one?
Yeah, again from the same episode 1116, we got Glenn Phillips and the rest of the crew, Toad the Wet Sprocket in studio, including the drummer, performing "Walk on the Ocean" from 2013. Check it out.
We spotted the ocean. Head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me this is the place where everything's better and everything's safe. Walk on the ocean, step on the stones, flesh becomes water, wood becomes bone. Half an hour later, packed up our things, said we'd send letters, and all of those little things. We knew we were lying, and smiled just the same. It seemed that I already forgotten we'd care. Walk on the ocean, step on the storms, the flesh becomes water, wood becomes bone. Walk on the ocean, step on the storms, the flesh becomes water, wood becomes bone. Back at the homestead, where the air makes you choke, people don't know you, trust is a joke. We don't even have pictures, just memories to hold. Grow sweeter each season as we slowly grow.
Wow. Love me some Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Thank you.
Randy, play Rings on the drums while I do my Stamps.com spot. There you go.
Oh, this one.
That's right. Stamps.
Oh, circles.
Stamps.com. Mailing and shipping can be a challenge. Not anymore. Not.
Now it's Toad the Wet Sprocket playing Walk on the Ocean. I don't know how we fit that many people into this studio. We pulled
it still
off.
Doesn't make sense.
I'm looking at the studio right now as I record this because I'm recording in Glendale, and I can't figure it out. We can barely fit the water cooler guys in there.
Matt Nathanson was forced to kick Aaron Tapp out, and that was just two dudes.
Yeah.
So Toad the Wet Sprocket got special treatment.
Yeah. Well, that's how you know how crowded it gets. But Toad the Wet Sprocket.
We call this Toad Gate in honor of Brian.
Yeah. Oh, he loves the gates.
Sprocket Gate.
All right, that'll do it for Corolla Classics. Thanks so much for listening. We return tomorrow with another episode, so make sure to subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, to get that one. And Gio and I will be making some more appearances later next week. It's Dark Week, so we're taking the Corolla show's taking some time off, but Gio and I will help you guys out. We'll make
They're
sure.
Forcing us to work!
Yeah, they are. No, it's going to be fun. We got a really great week planned, so make sure to tune in. Tell a friend, because as we always say, this is the best way to get people in to the Adam Carolla Show.
And if more of you listen and subscribe, they might loosen our cuffs.
Oh, that'd be nice. What's it like outside? Do you know yet?
What is sunlight?
Well, hopefully we'll find out tomorrow. So we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Thanks for listening to Corolla Classics. Once again, it's brought to you by Geico. Because right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on what?
Cars, motorcycles, or even your RV.
That's right. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Check out Geico. There's never been a better time to switch. And save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. So easy. Right there for you. All you got to do, visit geico.com to learn more.